Well, good morning, everybody. This is Pastor Tom coming to you once again from what I'm calling my studio. It's where I plan on doing a lot more work destined. This work is destined for a good thing on the internet. That will be explained more fully later on today. Let me explain to you now. I'm just heading down the last two recordings of this three-month interim pastoral duties. And I want to say that I've enjoyed it very much, but I was really sad when I could not meet with you together in a building and see your faces and, you know, shake hands. Sometimes we're hugging, you know, we're just glad to see each other. But all had to be put on hold. And then now we're coming to the close of the three-month time of sharing with you some thoughts on this recording. I'm not fond of a recording, I'll be honest with you. Some of you maybe were able to stick it out and listen, and that was good. Some of you probably maybe never did. I don't know whom I'm talking to there. If you didn't do it, you didn't do it. So really, I'm not talking to you. Maybe those are out there that just did it, and after a while was not really into that too much, and you just said, okay, I've heard enough, and you turned it off. Whatever. You know, I'm not saying anything negative or positive about that, but I prefer much rather to be face-to-face. That's the first way I want to do my presentation. And the second way would be by a video of some kind. But that wasn't going to work for me because I didn't have the technology on the cell phone or in the laptop, because I found out after trying a few things with Zoom that I didn't have a camera in that laptop or any kind of a sound system. Isn't that something? It took me several tries working with different Zoom contacts out there. Am I saying that right? Zoom recordings, Zoom videos. So that's kind of an update on where I'm at and what's going on. But all that being said, it is very nice to be with you. I'm glad you're listening. Today is an important day as far as sharing some information on the future. What does God have for us in the future? Now, I want to say this at the start, okay? We heard all kinds of things from all kinds of preachers, possibly. I did anyway, at least those that I listened to. And I said, wow, you know, it's so different than what I'm hearing. So I always say this with a little caveat. You just take these things that are said, and I literally mean not with a grain of salt, but you take it and you weigh it. You weigh it by the scripture, number one. Number two, what are you sensing in your heart from what is being said? Like, how do you receive it? That's really important. And then the third thing is totally fine. Any prophetic type word, anything that projects something out there that is a little bit maybe off the beaten path, you've got to talk to other people about it. Have them listen to it. And what do you think? Now, that is, it has a biblical premise. Paul said, if there be any prophecies in the church, let it be by two or three. Then he goes on to say in that text that let us judge what's being said. That is so different from an Old Testament prophet's role. In the Old Testament, a prophet, he was a man that they esteemed highly in the sense of spiritual things, and they revered his word. They took it for what it was. No place in the Old Testament does it say, okay, just listen to it, talk about it, discuss it, and see, you know, if you want to receive it or not. But in the New Testament, there seems to be that idea of the prophetic, that you listen to it, you take it in to a point, and then you talk it over with other people. Does this make sense? Is what's being said biblical? Is it something for us today, or they just you know, putting these things out there, and there's no accountability usually. That's the biggest thing. And I have a real area that's bothered me so much over the years. I can't go into too much detail, but you kept hearing prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, and then they didn't come to pass, and there was always an excuse why we could still listen to that man or that woman. And, you know, the Bible says that this is not the way it's done. I mean, if there's a false prophecy, I mean, you just take that and say, okay, you know, that one and that person, for right now, I need to weigh everything they're going to say from here on out. So there you have it. And I have said some things. That's what I'm driving at here. I've said some things that what I feel like and what's taking place today, and I encourage you not to take it verbatim, but to take it, to weigh it, to listen to it, talk it over with other Christians, and let's see what's really happening out there. So you know what I've been saying quite often on my recordings, that I do believe, and I said it before, and I'll say it again, that this thing that took place, this virus, whether or not God sent it, I'm not going to deal with that because it's so really very confusing to deal with that. But he allowed it. And I think that we're okay with that one. And he allowed the wind to blow, and it was a judgment wind. And when I received it, it was a judgment on the church. And I didn't understand that at first. I had to really think about what I was hearing. And I went to the Word, and I looked up the east wind, and I found an east wind is a wind of judgment. And then all of a sudden, we were into this whole virus that literally circled the earth. And now it's come back around again. How many times it's gone over around the world? Who knows, in the sense of communication in today's world of the internet and the discussion about it and how to treat it and all those things about it. But in the church world, I kept thinking that something is up here. We cannot let this moment pass us by. We can't allow a time that we would have some reflection, some inner thoughts, and what is really taking place. And here's what I will say, and you weigh it, you weigh this word. This is what I feel deep inside, that if we didn't do what the Lord has asked us to do, we'll be visited with this again, not a virus of this kind, but something. I heard some words out there that were disturbing last week. It really bothered me that there were some movements going on to prohibit churches from gathering back together again. Nothing else was in the list that they were giving, but churches. The gathering together, we were too close to one another. I heard some things years ago that were alarming to me about the church. I speak of it as an organization, a worldwide organization, not the organism, but the actual, you know how it works with an organization, and they meet together, that they were wanting to tax the churches. I remember saying once in the church one day, preaching at JCCT, that what we were having at that day, I remember vividly now, just saying that we won't always have this. Now, I did not know about a virus coming, and I didn't know there'd be a conclusion to the virus, and that there would be some groups, many groups, coming back together again. But there are some alarming things about the church that I just feel we cannot allow this just to go by and pretend like everything is back to normal, because it's not going to be back to normal. And it's not going to be what you've enjoyed before, and to an extent. And if the Lord was trying to speak to us, there will be ways that he can speak to us again. Now, there's been many discussions about denominations. And there's good and there's bad in every denomination that names the name of Jesus. But the bad part is, it seems to separate us, doesn't it? Like, we can have fellowship to a certain degree, but we can't go on one of the doctrines that their church teaches that they don't want to have in their church. And we cannot intermingle with that too much, or we can't have one of their teachings intermingle with us too much, because that'll take us off where we're at as a church, and that's the organization. I've felt for years, I believe that God is not pleased with that. He doesn't like us so separated and set apart and so dogmatic in what we believe, to where we can't even communicate to another believer. And then there's not a give and take. And if there is, it's almost only so much that we like to handle. And so it just gets really weird out there. And I've asked the Lord so many times, is this a problem with you? I mean, here we are. This is us. I remember the church I belonged to, and still do, really, the organization I belong to. And we were wanting to unite with another Pentecostal organization. But you know what happened? Now, you can just think this through a little bit, but it's very natural. And it doesn't make sense to, let's say, a new believer. But they couldn't get together on who would be the head honcho. The church I'm part of, it's called a general overseer. And this other organization, I think they called it the same thing. But the two groups were wanting to unite right down the line in belief system, together and everything. But they couldn't figure out who was going to be the one at the top of this pyramid who was going to be in charge. Now, that should say something to every believer out there. That one man could not humble himself enough, or the organization in their voting and in their bylaws and all the things that they were doing couldn't come down to who is going to run the show. Who's the guy at the top? Excuse me. And that's a problem. So I'm starting out today just simply sharing some thoughts with you. I feel at liberty in my spirit to do this, but that we have to reevaluate the church in the world, the church around the world, in parts of the world where they are under persecution and where the church has gone underground. Do you know that they don't have time to argue trivial things? Like, for instance, the argument of the rapture of the church. And then is it going to be pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation? Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, but that's a hot topic in some circles. But these churches don't have time. These groups don't have time for that. I read and heard about North Korea, that the Christians were sneaking out early in the morning on what they were pretending to do was go out fishing. And there they would have a portion of the Bible that they were reading. Do you think for one moment they were out there to argue whether or not the second coming was going to happen because of this virus going around the world? Or they may not even get that news. They may not even know what's going on around the world. But here they have a portion of the Bible and they're sharing it between these little fishing boats early in the morning because that was their gathering, and they do it with joy. Now, that's what I heard also. And if they be found out, especially in countries like North Korea and even China to this day are being persecuted for their faith, they don't have time to argue trivial things. They don't have time to spend around who's in charge here, who's doing this, what does the leader say, is he communicating to us, is that what he wants or is that what everybody else wants? Those questions, they don't have time for that. And I'm asking the Lord, I'm praying to God through this awakening, through this movement of the Holy Spirit that came upon us, that we actually found out that we can live and survive without the need of the large church gathering and all of that stuff that goes on Sunday. We somehow made it, didn't we? And we're still serving Jesus. That maybe we're not asking the right question here. Maybe we need to ask another question. Is what we're doing pleasing to you? Are you happy with this? We've got a homemade sign out there that has the word life in it, and the building looks like it's death. It looks like it's falling apart. I've seen churches like that. New Hope, and the church needs painting, and the parking lot is full of weeds, and the front door of the church is collapsing, and the sign out in front is old, and there's four cars in the parking lot. Are they even asking, is this pleasing to you? Maybe they should unite with the other church down the street that has a broken down sign but a little bit better circumstances. And maybe they ought to unite together, and the pastors, one would be the main pastor, another guy the assistant. But oh no, because we have to both be in charge. That's how God called me. Well, let's ask the right question. That's my first point. Secondly, Is this awakening which we had, this judgment of God upon the church, is this really bringing us alive again? Is it really making us think with our eyes wide open that God might be saying something to the church? And then he may be wanting us to humble ourselves. I spoke on that last week. And to repent of our sins. It has to start in the house of God. Otherwise, final point, and I started with this, and I'm not even in my sermon yet, but the final thought is, God will revisit us on these same things again. It may not be a virus the next time. It might be taxing of the church by the government. It's coming. I'm telling you in my heart of hearts, it's coming. It depends on who's going to be in charge and what they think of these huge gatherings. I remember the Crystal Cathedral got in trouble because they would have a concert during the week. And in the concert, there would be tickets being sold. And it was blurring the line between being the nonprofit organization to being a profit organization. Once you're in the profit side, you've got to pay taxes. And now the Crystal Cathedral is no longer operating. And it's been wrapped up. Once Robert Schuller died, his family tried to keep it going, but it had its problems. And so it served its time, and then now it's gone. But I remember they were in the line of fire about being taxed. So I believe taxes is coming to the church. Are you ready for that moment? What happens next? What do we do after that? Well, that brings me to my sermon today. And I just want to share some thoughts, really important thoughts here about the Word of God. But I want to pray first and then get right into this message. Ha ha, right into it. You have to be laughing at that statement. I'm right into it after 20 minutes of introduction. Okay, so you've heard me speak about this before, but I'm going to Matthew chapter 28, and I want to read verses 18 through 20. And I want to explain some verses, some words in there. This is the King James, but this happens to be the one that most people understand about some thoughts about certain things. I want to touch on those, but let me read the scripture. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, touch your word, anoint it, let it be full of fire and life. Life-giving word, that's what we need today, Lord, life-giving. Hope, we need hope in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. When Jesus was saying to them, I have all power, it's been given unto me, the word there is meaning all authority. So this word power isn't the Greek word dunamis, which means explosive type power, dunamis. Interesting, we have our word dynamite that has derived from that, but the kind of power that you can just like lay hands on somebody and boom, they're just amazingly hit with the power of God. No, this is authority. Now, I like this word authority. I like having Jesus on my side, and I believe I'm on his side, so we can be confident that all authority, he's got the final word. That's right, the final word. Don't want to spend a lot of time there. I may move on, but you get the point, right? All authority. Hang on to that word authority. Then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now the word teach is actually translated, make disciples. So your version will probably have it in a better way. There it will say, make disciples of all nations. Now I have a lot of questions coming up in this next verse, but we have interpreted this being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit as water baptism, using the Father, Son, Holy Spirit names for God. But I've really been asking the Lord, is that all that that verse is saying? There may be more to that. And that's all I want to say about it, that there may be more to that verse. So another day, another time, I'll talk about that. Then it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Then he says, lo, I am with you always. There's no S on that word in the King James. Even unto the end of the world. Well, that's not the correct word for world. That's an eon, aeon. We know that we remember the word eon, right? Eon of eons. I don't know how else to put it, but you've heard the word eon. And that's the Greek word there. But that means age. That means a time frame. Even unto the end of the age, even to the end of this time of preaching and sharing the gospel, even to that end. Now, I want to read a verse, couple of verses here. I'm going to go to Mark, and I want to read what Jesus had to say about this same thing out of Mark's gospel. Very interesting. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, the word world there is another word that's been kind of mistranslated. It would be better translated as the Roman Empire. Now, that's as best as I can say it, or the land. It's not the word cosmos. It's another word, and it means the land, the known world. So he's commanding them to go into all that known world that they were aware of in their day and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes or believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. All righty. Then Luke, he deals with this again in kind of the same way that we're hearing here. And I just want to read that a little bit for your hearing. And behold, he said, and this is following his witnessing with the two men, verse number 49 of chapter 24. Says, behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem. And with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Now, I brought that up because they had the promise that they were to wait for. They weren't to move out and do anything until they were endued or clothed upon with God's great power. Now, going back to Matthew, and these are my thoughts today, and I'm going to bring quickly going into where I'm heading and why I'm heading there. So it's good to know what I'm up to, why I'm up to that, and the rest will be in God's hands. He said the word, go and make disciples. Now think about that for a moment. Go and make disciples. What we say is come and sit and learn. Or better yet, come and learn. Jesus said, go and make. Now, think about the two ways that this is going. Yesterday, my wife, she's been making these awesome dinners. Yesterday was stuffed peppers, and they were so good. I mean, delicious. But at one point in the daytime, she said, I'm going to go into the kitchen, and I'm going to make dinner. I'm going to go. These are words of movement. Right? I'm going to go into the kitchen and make dinner. And I asked her if she needed any help. And basically, the truth is, you guys, I'm in the way in the kitchen. Now, when it comes my turn to go and to make, we drive and eat. We eat out. That's what we do. That's another movement, but that's like, okay, I can cook. I do cook the tacos. The taco dinner is for me. I make the guacamole dip. That's my deal. I can make other dishes. I don't mind cooking at all, so don't get a wrong impression here. But she has really, during this, especially this virus time, going through all of this, really gone back, I would say, not back, but in the kitchen, and began to make these delicious dinners. I'm saying that because this relates to my message today in this way. She said, I'm going to go into the kitchen and make dinner. But for me, I was sitting, and as usual, probably drinking, I was drinking water, didn't have a cup of coffee at that time, but just sitting and zoning. Sitting and zoning. One has action, one has, what would be the word? Kind of a passiveness. So you have in the one word more action and aggressiveness, and the other one you have passiveness. And for years, I have been asking God, is this what you want from us for all of our lives? Is this the job of men in the church, that they would continually keep on learning and learning and learning and learning with no avenue to go out there to practice what they've learned? Or is it your will that we would sit all this time and continually be in a learning state? Is this what you want for the women who have great abilities, greater abilities than the men do in communicating with the way that is able to reach the heart of people? Is this what you want for them? Do they ever graduate out of this place? Isn't that something to think about? I mean, am I sparking something in you that there's never really a graduation? It's like you're always in college and you never drop out or graduate. You just stay there forever and ever. You know, back when I learned that my college loans can be postponed while I'm in school, I just said, you know what? I'll just be in school the rest of my life. I'll go to college. I'll take all kinds of courses. And it'll be a community college. I don't have to pay much for the course. And I'll postpone all my college loans forever. And that didn't happen. But in college, now there's two things I thought about this. There's two ways every student goes. Either they drop out for various reasons, quit, whatever you want to call it, but that crowd, or you graduate. One of two ways you're going to go. My goal was to graduate. I mean, I wanted to graduate with knowledge and what I learned, not like the high school thing. There, if you want to say I graduated with honors, yeah, it was my honor to get out of there. And that's all I wanted, was get out. But things changed in college. So I graduated, but there had to come to that day. They had to get a diploma. You're done here. There's no more we can do for you. You haven't learned everything, that's for sure. You've just started, but we've done everything we can do. And then if you say, well, now what's my next step? And everybody knows, you go on, get your master's. But you're going to go into your master's for another 2 or 3 years. But there will come a day when there'll be the big graduation. Now you're wearing, more of this stuff on you, right? For the graduation and the robe and all of that. There's more. There's that other look that they have. You know, it's more to it. Wow, I reached another level. But there will come a day when they'll call out your name. They'll say, Tom Lipa. And I walked up there and I remember my mom and dad were there. And I believe other family members were there watching me get that diploma. Yeah, there were a lot of family members. And then I got that diploma and I put my hand out and I said, thank you. And I said, I did it. And I walked out of that place and I graduated. I never went back for another class because I didn't have to. I graduated. Now, some go on to get their PhD. And when they do, they're going to be giving another level. I mean, the ultimate level. You know, a doctorate is one thing, but a PhD, I mean, you have reached the plateau of learning. You are considered to be very well educated. You can write articles and get them printed. Your thesis can be made into a book. I mean, you have arrived, but you also graduate. You see, one day you will graduate. The days of all that learning what is it, about, see, 4 and 3 and 2 or 3, about 10 years. Look at there, 10 years of learning, 8 to 10 years. And now you get that diploma and you've reached the pinnacle of your learning. But no, you haven't. You're just starting your life. Every graduation ceremony has somebody that's going to speak to them and they're going to say, you're just starting. You've not graduated from living, you graduated from the college that you went to. Now go and do those things that you've learned. And you go out, and some people find exactly what they're looking for, and some it takes a while to get there, but that someday they will be there. It's the same. I can think about my wife, Julie, in the nursing school and going on becoming getting her master's and becoming a nurse practitioner and all of that. It was a movement, and she finally was out doing what she was trained to do. So with that in mind, how about the church? There's never a graduation. Now, let me just say this, and you can be upset at me or not. It doesn't matter. Even if I was before you right now, I would say this. I'm not ashamed of it. But a pastor always has to preach to the weakest link in the congregation. Who is the weakest link? Those are the ones that are visiting that day. And the larger churches, it might be 100 people that are there for the first time. And a pastor has to assume out of that 100 people, maybe there's 80 or 90 of them that just don't really have any interest in Jesus. And I have to really preach to those people. And so they will do a whole message and they will kind of narrow it down to those people. But what about the other chunk of people that need to be doing something? And they're asking the question, I don't even know what to do. If I wanted to do it, I don't even know. No one's ever taught me how to go and do. I've always been taught to sit and learn. That's been the way it's been. I could be here and happy the rest of my life on this pew, and everything is going to be fine. Well, is it really going to be fine? So a pastor will preach to the weakest link. He has to. He can't possibly reach those that are more mature in the Lord. Now, you're probably saying, well, we're always ready to hear the gospel message. Well, Paul said you need to move on from some of these things. There's a time in your life when you just need to move on from the basic elements, these things that you learned. And he even mentions them, like laying on of hands, which is amazing to read there, and the fundamentals of the gospel. And then he even says at another time, when you ought to be teachers, you have need to be going back to learning again so that you learn how to be a teacher, because you're not ready to teach. You've learned a lot of stuff, but you can't be a teacher. And yet we have the word of God saying that go and teach or make disciples of all nations. So the two elements I was talking about, letter A in this message is go and make. Go and make. But we have interpreted that to be sit and learn. Now, am I trying to say that you never sit or learn again? Now, you need to be with me on this. I am not at all implying that. So if you want to try to fine-tune this message like that, you're out of luck here with me. Out of luck. That's not good. You're just not going to get it. Go and make. Sit and learn. That's probably a good title for this message. Go and make, or sit and learn. And then you could have a colon right there, and underneath it have, it's up to you. Amen. I think that's a good sermon title right there. It's up to me. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I've read those scriptures. You've heard them. Jesus is really wanting them to go, before they were to go, they had to wait for something more in their life. They didn't have it. They already had the Lord, that's for sure, but they had to wait for something. So here's what I want to do. This is, now I'm off of my sermon. I'm going to share my heart as I get ready to wrap this up here in about 10 or 15 minutes. Here's a dream. I've got a dream, you know, I've got a vision of something. I got my eyes on something wonderful, but it doesn't deal with a building or thousands of people coming to a building. May I say real quickly, I'm not putting down the building, but there are some aspects of it. Now, we never dealt with this, but if we had our own building, you realize that when you're in there and much of the year that you're inside that building, you have to put on the air conditioning. Somebody's got to pay for the air conditioning. Somebody's got to pay for the cleaning of the church. Somebody's got to pay to keep up all the bathrooms and keeping those very neat. And somebody has to take care of all the things in the church. Someone has to pay for the heat. Someone has to pay for the roof and the care of the parking lot and the expenses that go into that. And I'm saying, all good. It's all good. You've done a great job. But maybe God is wanting us to withdraw from this kind of thinking and to say, maybe there's something more that I'm supposed to do. And so you've got this idea, Tom. You've got this idea. What do you do with it? Well, you share it with people. That's what I'm doing. So I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about gathering into a building, and I'm not talking about having my name plastered on the Charisma magazine of building the biggest building possible, and there's thousands upon thousands of people coming, tens of thousands of people. Who knows the number? The sky's the limit, right? When I used to really want to go with numbers, and back then my goal was a 300 in a church because that was a good goal. I thought, 300, yeah, that's what I want, 300. But I would meet pastors, not very many in our organization, but I meet a pastor and talking to him and he reached 300 or 400, but now he wants to go to 1,000. And now you're thinking that you get to 1,000, now it's going to be 2,000. And you get to 2,000, then it just keeps going up. Like, where's the limit, you know? And then they'll say, the sky's the limit. And then they'll do every program they can to get people in there. But there's only so much room a building can hold. And there's only so many services you can do on a Sunday until you're exhausted. There's only so much work the staff can do until they just want to quit and hang up their calling and go on and do something else. So I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about something else. I mentioned to you about Zoom. Here's the plan. I'm in my studio. I need to buy a new computer. It's going to take a while to get there. I need to buy one that has, it's got a nice screen and it's got good sound and it's got a good camera and it's got a good internet connection. So I want to be doing that. Now, no matter what you do with technology, and if you've been following technology and seeing a video or something live, you know, live video of a pastor preaching, there's always technical problems. The sound might go away for a few seconds. The picture might be still right before you for a few seconds. I mean, there's going to be something, right? Skype has its problems. And I would have to say Zoom does too. But I'm going to be using Zoom, and I'm going to be part of an organization that is called Beyond.org, and they have a movement, and they get people from all over the world, and I've been a part of their Zoom. That's where I've had trouble connecting to Zoom. I could see their picture and their mouth moving on my cell phone, but I couldn't get sound. And I couldn't figure out what's going on. And then I could get the sound on the on the computer. I guess I did have, no, I didn't have sound. I couldn't get anything. Nothing. I couldn't get in. So total mess up. But I'm going to get the right kind of computer. It's going to be a nice laptop. I'm going to get the right sound and the right camera. Everything is going to be working good, and I'm going to get a starting date. I don't know who's going to come with me for this, but here's what I'm going to do. Then for three or four Sundays, depending on the month, I'm going to broadcast out there. And I'll share something about that in just a moment. Then on the fourth or the fifth Sunday of the month, depending, then we're going to meet together in person and having fellowship of whatever kind of fellowship you like. So we'll be looking for somebody that's interested in opening up their home for 2 or 3, 4 or 10 people, whatever you can handle. And I know there's a lot in that, but I've been here and these kinds of gatherings work. All right. But everybody in the group who is coming there is going to be expected to go and to do what I'm training them to do. So when they return back to the group that I have, then that will be a time of the troubles they're facing with their group. All groups have problems. I could go through the list, but that's for another day. All small groups are going to have their problems. And so when somebody launches out and they run into a first difficulty, they've got to be able to come somewhere and be able to talk and work through that and get some instruction. So my group initially, the group that I'm going to have initially, is going to be the group that I'm going to train and disciple to go and to do, right? So you got to be brave here. If you're saying I can't do that, then you can't do it. But if you're open to it, I can train you. I can teach you. It's not hard. Beyond.org, in their groups, they have what they call discovery groups. A discovery group is when you are in a group and you read a scripture, such as the one I read today, Matthew 28, and those verses, and you say, go and make disciples. And then you ask that person in the group or the group as a whole, what does that scripture say to you? And so they'll answer that somehow. Well, that says this, and they may be a million miles away from what it really says, because they just look at it like it's a foreign language. But then there'll come the day when it's going to hit them really well. And then another question is, eventually you work into maybe 2, 3 weeks, a month down the road. Now you're working into this question. So what are you going to do with this knowledge? What are you going to do with it? And we'll see how the Lord leads. All right, so that's that group of people. And it's a discovery group. And it's to teach them that they can go and do this thing without too much trouble. It's not hard. And okay, so question comes, you can't answer the question. You simply say, you know what? Great question. I mean, very good and very thoughtful. I don't have an answer for you today, but I will get an answer for you. Or you've got to be brave and say, you know what? That's a really good question, but we're not talking about that today. We're talking about this. And I will be glad to talk to you after the meeting tonight to answer that question as best as I can. Okay, so it's part of leadership in the group, group dynamics. You need to learn about those. It's way different than what you think. That's called a discovery group. But then I want to take another group and I'm going to do another Zoom broadcast. I might be biting enough more than I can chew, but in my other Zoom broadcast, I want to start feeding those Christians out there that are hungry for more. They're hungry for more. And I want to do 3 topics over about a 10-month period. So this is really for those who want to grow and move into a deeper depth with God. I'm going to talk about salvation, but I'm not going to talk about salvation that you already know for the mature ones, that you're already familiar with. I want to deal with 3 areas of salvation that Paul talked about. I want to talk about justification. I want to talk about redemption. And I want to talk about propitiation. Propitiation, what a word that is. You may have heard of it, don't even know what it means. I want to talk about that in the depth of salvation that takes you deeper. There'll be Greek words to at least be familiar with, and there'll be learning and there'll be growing. Then the next topic, that's the first one, salvation. It has its 3 legs to it, A, B, and C. Justification, redemption, and propitiation. Then I want to take you into sanctification. Now, there's a word for you. And you say, well, what about that one? Don't we just kind of grow along, just ease along in there? Well, I'm going to explain more about that for those that want to learn more about sanctification. This has been a lifelong journey for me. So you're going to get things that I have learned, and many of them the hard way, but most of them the good way and the easier way, just by learning, just by reading and by studying and by practicing. And then, so we're going to go through sanctification. And so then the final thing is, the final set of teaching will be about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And boy, I'm going to lose a lot of people there, but yes, we will talk about the gift of speaking in other tongues. We will talk about the gifts of healing. We will talk about the gifts of prophecy, interpretation of tongues, miracles, healings, the things that are mentioned so vividly when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, that we will talk about all those, and we will learn the value of practicing those things. Now, Mark says in his gospel, he said that after that, about going and preaching into all the world, that he mentions about signs that are going to follow the believers, that they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They'll speak with new tongues. If they pick up any deadly thing or drink something that's deadly, it will not hurt them. If they get bitten by a serpent or a snake, they'll not die. Interesting scriptures. Well, I think what Mark is trying to say is the protection of God is going to be with you, because you're going to go into some pretty dangerous places. Okay? So that's there. And you'll speak with new tongues. What's he talking about there? Just a new language that we learn as a Christian? Or is there something deeper about that? We'll learn about Romans chapter 8, where it says that that you begin to speak in a when you don't even know what to pray for, it's only going to come out as a groan or a moan inside of you. We'll learn what that means. And all of this has application, but I'm going to take you into those three areas. And then if you want to, at the end of that year, that'll be like a year course that I'm going to send you out to do the same thing, that you'll begin to talk to people exactly those things that I have taught you. Salvation, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those are three areas. And you'll want to come to these classes, or I'm going to call them a class, but you'll want to come to learn, because you're going to learn something you didn't learn while sitting in church when you had the very basics of salvation. It takes you to another level. You'll learn Greek words from the Bible. You'll learn what this means, and what does sanctification mean? What does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And not just the speaking in tongues part, but what else does it mean? Isn't there more to it than that? And of course, the answer is yes. I'm coming up on 10 to 12. I started at 11 o'clock today. So we're right about 50 minutes. And I just really wanted to share with you on that idea of the Zoom broadcast and the two legs of that journey, which is the discovery groups, which will teach you as an individual how to go and have a group of your own, and or meeting somewhere as a small group, and then coming back together. Oh, I almost forgot. What happens as you become, let's say people really like your teaching, and now you're getting more and more people coming, and you can't fit them all into your house? Well, the obvious answer is multiplying groups. And that is really where we're heading, is to multiply these groups. In that sense, you're not confined to the size of a building, are you? You've got people coming to a house or wherever, and they're learning and they're growing and they're asking questions and they're getting their needs met. All of these things are happening. It's dynamic, ongoing, full of power. And so the building isn't going to be a problem, because we don't have a building. The size of the group does matter, but it must multiply. We'll get into that. But you know, I think God is going to just guide all this together. If I list all this down on a piece of paper, the first month, every bit of that on the paper will be just crossed out, X'd out. I'll have arrows pointing to this we're going to do, or not doing that. This didn't work. I tried this. I just don't want to go down that road. I want this to be the Holy Spirit guiding it. So the building size, the parking lot size, the preaching to the weakest link is just not going to happen because everybody is going to be growing and learning together and multiplying. That's the other thing I want to see happen. There will come a time when the groups will, out there, there'll be 3, 4, 5 groups. That's the vision of this, that they'll come back and we might have 10 of those leaders come to my house. And names of these groups, shepherd leaders, that's one name I've come up with. The Bible would use the word elders, not like what you're thinking, but elders, someone that's in charge of a group. Women can be in charge of a group. It's not confined to just the men. And everybody has a say-so. Oh, and finally, oh, I almost forgot about this. Listen to me carefully on this one. I am not looking for a salary, okay? Maybe I'm cutting myself short here. I don't know. But I'm not looking to get paid. I don't want the pressure of that. I don't want you or me or anybody to feel pressured about giving. I don't even want it. I can say it out loud, but oh, if I'm expecting $1,500 a month and I can only get $800, who's going to feel the guilt of all that? And my pocketbook, number one, but then I'll probably lay that one on you because that's a natural way to go. I want you to begin to think about places to put your money, and we'll call it tithing if you want to, but a place to put your money that you consider to be valuable and of a good idea. And okay, so my wife and I are doing this, and right now we're supporting JCCT, but they won't always be this way, so we'll be praying about another place to put our money. And we'll pray about it, but we aren't going to stop giving, that's for sure. So there you have it today. There's the groups. I hope I covered everything. I didn't have any notes before me. I didn't have anything, but I prayed before I started, and I asked the Holy Spirit guide me as best as I'm able to listen to you, amen, and to know where I'm going. So a startup date. When will I be doing this? Well, my wife and I found some pretty good airline tickets, and we're going to be heading off to Orlando, Florida. Well, it's called Winter Park, if you're familiar with the area out there. And we got these tickets. Get this, you guys. We're flying nonstop Southwest Airline. I believe it's the 16th of June. Yes, it is. That we'll be leaving here. We're going to fly in to visit our daughter, our son-in-law, his parents, Walt and Angela, their daughter, Emily, and especially the grandkids, Lilia, August, Roman. Hey, did you know that August is getting ready to go into kindergarten? They had a big graduation. It was done out on the street, and so my daughter was across the street taking videos. Interesting days that we live in. And here was our little guy, August. He was wearing a blue graduation robe. His little hat on, and he got his little certificate. He's heading into kindergarten. I believe they start in August. In August. August starts in August. Isn't that something? And then little Roman, he doesn't understand what's going on. He's only 3. He'll be 4 in August. I'm sorry, guys. Everything's in August. So he'll be 4 August the 1st, and he just didn't quite get it. So we have to make sure we give him presents and take care of him. But anyway, what I'm saying is we won't be leaving. I won't be starting in June like I wanted to. So please look about the 1st of July. And if you need to find fellowship, you need to go to church somewhere, hey, this you guys are free, freer than free to do whatever you want to do. Right now, I guess JCCT is on a hibernation. Is that the word? A dormancy. Sorry. A dormant stage. And whatever. I'm not in charge of that. So please don't look to me on that one. I'm going another direction. And it's something I've dreamed of all my life. And I think this is time to do it. But nobody getting bound up with anything. When I write out my email today to the church to let you know that this recording is available, I am also going to have a little note in there that if you want to be a part of it, a way that you can let me know. So now, please be thinking about the first Sunday of July. the first Sunday of July, that I will be rip-raring to go with a Zoom broadcast. You've waited a long time to come to the end there, people. I believe we've arrived. Yes, we have. Going back to the recording here. Well, I'm still recording. I hope it came out okay. I hope my hand wasn't over the speaker or some weird thing. I'll find out in a second. All right, so 54 minutes and 30 seconds. Just about right. Now we're going to end.